Hello, my name is Nathan.
I'm David.
And I'm Alan.
Welcome to the Video Game Podcast. In this episode, we'll be exploring Bethesda, a successful and wealthy game development company that has gained them fame and fortune through the creation of many successful games. However, as they got more wealthy and their presence within the gaming industry increased, they began to change and forgot where they came from. That's the question we want to answer. Why do industries corrupt? How does it happen? To answer this question, we will analyze two games from two different eras of the Bethesda series: Fallout New Vegas, a game held dear to many Fallout fans, and Fallout 76, the most recent installment considered to be an embarrassment to the entire franchise.
That's the music you're introduced to. Simply in the title screen. It's powerful, it's epic, and dark. Now, if you can't recognize it, it's from Fallout New Vegas, a first-person role-playing game made more than 8 years ago that is set in the post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland of Nevada. It's an alternate universe where the Cold War went really hot, and you're now wandering in what remains of civilization. To be precise, the game takes place 200 years after everyone blew themselves up, and life, including humans, have both adapted and mutated to suit the hellish environments. The character you play in the wasteland has grown up in this environment and has found a career as a courier. Now, a courier is like an Amazon delivery guy, but for nuclear weapons and, well, drugs. Anyways, on a delivery to New Vegas, you're ambushed, tortured, and interrogated. You don't spill the beans of what you're transporting, so you get your brain spilled instead. And so your journey begins with you missing half your brain and an old hermit trying to save you by fiddling with the other half. And so now you're on a path of vengeance throughout a broken, radioactive wasteland in search of the asshole that shot you. And that's basically how you start out, with a bullet hole in your head and an immense world to explore.
Fallout New Vegas allows a player to do anything they so desire, such as go on a murder spree and ignore anyone's peacefulness, or talk to people and settle things peacefully. Although some solutions may have to result in bloodshed because the game forces you to put some dirt on your hands in some situations, you can persuade people with the skills and unique perks you've attained to gain their trust, or take the easier route and intimidate people to make them do what you want. You can rob people and steal stuff, or you can earn your items through hard work. You can side with an evil faction to your own selfish benefits, or you can side with a good faction for the betterment of all in the wasteland. This is the freedom the player is given. The environment of Fallout New Vegas is lonely, dry, desolate, and dangerous. I know the graphics aren't high-tier like games today, but the gameplay makes up for the graphics in terms of making the player feel immersed. Players can explore the wasteland freely. When exploring, many things can be encountered, such as crazed raiders coming out of nowhere to attack you. Many mutated creatures and groups looking to start chaos run the wasteland, making it extremely difficult to wander around. Consequently, you are rewarded handsomely for your bravery. The game has encounters that the player may run into randomly, based on their certain skill sets and perks they have chosen for their character. The much rarer encounters can happen much quicker. For example, the player is given the option to give the perk named Wild Wasteland to the character. This is what the description says about the perk. Wild Wasteland unleashes the most bizarre and silly elements of post-apocalyptic America, not for the faint of heart or the series of temperament. This perk gives some dark humor references to popular movies ranging from Star Wars to Indiana Jones and many more. But the coolest part of this perk is when you encounter those references, this sound plays. Listen.
I know, it sounds very creepy and alien-esque, although this is my personal favorite perk to use all the time, but music like this is what spooks and entertains people.
The music is good enough to alter the mood of the game in certain moments as well. So imagine this, you start out knowing nothing and lonely, and you walk into a dark, desolate amusement park, and it immediately gives you some creepy music, like someone's watching you. Out of nowhere, this huge twisted creature with bloody claws scares you, and without hesitation, you enter your inventory because you know it pauses the game. You go and turn on the radio in your inventory. And then you proceed to run for your life with the encouraging support of some wholesome country music while the monster is 3 feet away from you. Ah, oh, Fallout, so amazing.
Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 76 contain similar elements of adventure, role-playing, music, basic themes. However, the quality at which these aspects are implemented is cheap, and the main tenets of the game are even missing. 76 was meant to be a revolutionary piece for Bethesda, since it was the first multiplayer game for the Fallout franchise. Multiplayer means that you can play with real people in real time, as virtual characters in the game. So they ended up hyping up this aspect of the game more than anything, through ads and through press, which should have come as a warning. Because when the product was released, a clear shift of focus and effort could be seen. The story that they had put so much heart into for the past 8 years was put on the back burner, a seat warmer instead of the main thing. As a company, Bethesda has been known for their single-player games since its founding, so it's reasonable to say that their audience exists because of that very emphasis. Yet, it's also reasonable to say Bethesda wanted to expand its horizons as a company, tread new ground, and perhaps create a name for itself in another audience. So you then assume that if a company is in a new frontier, it would take its time, and be cautious and learn from its past mistakes. The numbers, however, show something different.
Fallout New Vegas was released about 8.5 years ago, on October 19th, 2010. Within the first month of sales, the first-person game sold more than 5 million copies, resulting in over $300 million in revenue. This is a huge success as compared to the latest released Fallout game, Fallout 76. Many people have expressed that the game has been a huge failure, not living up to the hype and expectations. And well, to be honest, the numbers back it up. With being released on November 18th, 2018, the first month of sales only brought in about $84 million in revenue and sold only about 1.4 million copies. Now this still may seem like a lot, but as compared to Fallout New Vegas, it is a major disappointment. As of February 2019, Fallout New Vegas has sold about 6 million more copies than Fallout 76. As a result of Fallout New Vegas' success, they were nominated for two awards in 2011, Best Strategy Game and Best Story. On the other hand, Fallout 76 has received no nominations. I think it's safe to say that numbers don't lie. Explain this raw comparison of the two games from the Fallout series, I interviewed my cousin Derek, of who is an avid video game fan. And when I say this, I don't mean someone who plays video games a few times a week and enjoys spending a couple hours playing. I mean someone whose life basically surrounds video games. It's, well, his passion. He begins by stating his favorite games from the Fallout series.
It's a tie between two. There's Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. But if I had to choose between two of them, it would have to be New Vegas.
Is there a specific reason why you like Fallout New Vegas the most?
Fallout 3, there's a lot of stuff you can do in Fallout 3. Like, go out on a hunt, like, mutants and stuff. And then you can just find people to find your vault. Because it takes place in like a nuclear fallout, hence the name Fallout.
Yeah.
But in New Vegas, there's like a little bit more stuff to do, I think. And there's like a little more places to explore. And plus, if you play like on the computer as to like a console, there's also like mods you can do, which are really fun and you can just mess around with and make the game a little more interesting.
Yeah. Is there a particular game in the series that you like the least?
Fallout 76.
You said that pretty fast.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why?
It's because of glitches and stuff they took out that I didn't like about the Fallout series. I mean, it was commercially successful, but then when it got out, it was just... features were just not there, and it is multiplayer, yes. But there's just a lot of stuff taken out from the previous game, so it feels like a step back to the original Fallout, as into new stuff. Because when it's a new game, you would think they would just add features to it or add some more onto the old features. But in this game, they're just not in, it just wasn't there.
Yeah. That being said, I think it's safe to say that the Bethesda Gaming Company and the renowned Fallout series is a true testament to how the gaming industry has become corrupt.
Now, to get another take on this issue, I interviewed a renowned figure, a tennis superstar, hyper-intellectual, and a pioneer of modern American high school culture here at CHS, and a good friend of mine. He has some good ideas, so listen close.
Hello, so I'm here with Jaden Price.
Mm-hmm,
or Jaden,
mm-hmm.
You want to introduce
that's
yourself?
Yep, that's... yeah, I'm Jaden Price. I like to play video games every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then. Okay.
Every now and then, yeah.
So, first question. What's your view on games today with games in the past?
I think the biggest difference is that the big producers, like the AAA titles, like EA and people like that, really just focus on quantity over quality. They care a lot more about how many games they're producing and how much money they can make off them than the actual people enjoying them. This is shown through, like, people have, like microtransactions, which means you can buy things inside the game after you've already bought probably, like, a $60 game. And that just shows that they're trying to get more money out of the person rather than more enjoyment. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes up to, like, $120 games.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But then once you go inside the game, you're still forced to, like, buy, like, $30 worth of material to actually get the full experience and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next question is, do you think the industry has lost its original passion?
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, you can see this through stuff like old games that have so much content being packed into it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I think somebody was talking, I think what your podcast is kind of about Fallout and stuff like that. Well, like Fallout New Vegas, a game that you guys are probably talking about too, it has a bunch of like detail and everything. I probably played it for like 6 hours, which isn't a lot. You know, I didn't play much into the game, but I was surprised at how detailed like each and every character was, and how much depth they had compared to like the new games, like any game actually, like even like Fallout 4, the characters weren't really that interesting, you know. And it showed it wasn't like a labor of love; it was just something that someone just had to do. You know?
What did you think about 76 though?
76, I hadn't actually played the game, but I watched a lot of content on it, and people are very angry. People are extremely angry that the game was just a cash grab. You know, it used the same old engine and art style and everything as the old game. They actually copied off of Skyrim, one of their most popular series. Even the final like boss fight, which is supposed to be crazy and like epic, right? Like you're taking down a dragon. It's literally the same thing as Skyrim. Like
it's
literally copy, like Control C, Control V. Instead of using arrows, you're using like a bazooka now. Like it's, well, sure, whatever. Who cares?
All right. Yeah. Okay. So, what do you think is the cause?
I think the cause is that people have quotas. You know, you have to get this game out in a year, and if you don't, you're fired.
Do you think it's like a natural process, or is this something like a decision that they're doing?
I'm sure what ends up happening is the big like CEOs, corporate leaders just tell their the people that are actually working on the games, the game developers, like you need, this is what we think the people would like, and you need to get this done as soon as possible, or else.
So I think there's like a disconnect between the higher ups and the game developers, and then the audience who's like waiting for the game to come out, basically.
Yes. It's not so much geared towards the actual consumer, but more of like the very shallowest level that they can get while still selling as much as they get the game as they can.
So they're expanding their audience instead of focusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is a solution?
A solution? Yeah. You know, a solution would probably be, well, the big problem is the AAA companies. You know, they're really exploiting, like, these small game studios to, like, shell out the game as fast as possible. So the solution may even be, like, maybe, well, there's no sort of, like, intervention we could do, but I think this is change in culture. In the workplace would probably fix it. You know, maybe a little more relaxed environment where people can actually take time to put detail into their games.
Yeah, so I just found out a kid had a guinea pig in his backpack in the metal shop. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
Centennial High School for smuggling. You.
Is it dead?
No, but I
across the borders. Illegal immigrant into the metal shop.
Oh, what's going on the podcast?
All right. Okay. I hope that the answers were satisfactory.
Okay. Thanks, Jaden. I appreciate that.
Yes, of course. Okay.
What Jaden says about the development team and the higher-ups is true. The industry is basically split into three levels. The consumers, who are at the bottom, the developers, who are in the middle, doing most of the heavy lifting, and the higher-ups, like investors and CEOs. What ends up happening is that these small studios that come up with money-making masterpieces get put on a pedestal. That pedestal that gives the producers fame, money, and admiration are hard to maintain. So when the time comes around for a sequel, a larger budget is needed to maintain it, to one-up the achievement. In order to sustain this position, game studios need investors who are willing to give them money for their new technology and marketing. The more money they put in, the more power they have on the final decisions. This proves to be an issue when the executives are disconnected from both the player base and the developers themselves. Perhaps this is a natural process, where both people and their product must evolve to maintain and survive as artists and industry. But is it right?
When a game that a small gaming company creates gains fame and increases the revenue, it catches the eye of many investors looking to invest their money. You see, when a venture capitalist, aka investor, distribute their money into a company, they have power over that company. This is where things can go south. Many wealthy investors do not seek to invest their money to keep a product efficient for the company and consumers. They invest their money to make the product efficient for themselves and have more money in their pockets. This is in correlation to the video game industry. With investors having the power to alter the final product of a video game, it can drastically change the way the game feels. And sadly, the company has no other choice but to listen to the investors, because if not, the investors will cut them off and the company will then lose its budget for the video game. This then leads to the making of a game so bland and boring, such as Fallout 76, with no interesting storyline and not being able to interact with in-game characters like you're supposed to do in a supposed RPG game. This is a game that looks like Fallout 4, but did not feel anything like a Fallout game whatsoever. A game that took the exact same graphics of Fallout 4 and just slapped in multiplayer. You know, when I was younger, I wish that Bethesda would come out with an online version of Fallout, but when looking at Fallout 76, it was not how I pictured it. Such a shame.
A solution to this is to cut all investors that gave them a difficult time and then cut the budget shorter. A remarkable game does not have to have top-notch graphics as proven with Fallout New Vegas, thus will lower the budget drastically. But there will always be times where you have to upgrade the graphics a bit more, because nowadays, gamers like the feeling of realism. A well-standing company does not need the aid of others simply by just sticking to games that their specific audience enjoys the most. New sequels a good company will make will surely feel familiar to the previous installment, but has elements that sustain its own identity and carries the spirit of the series itself. This is not at all meant to tell people to stop purchasing games from gaming industries that have lost their true purpose, but to create a way to have gaming industries hear our voices and tell them to go back to their original purpose that made people feel joy in playing their games. We would like to thank you for tuning into our video game podcast. It's been a pleasure developing these ideas and this podcast. If you want to hear more, forget it.